I suppose this could be a bit of a risk, but we're going to, in preparation for the homily, we're going to take 60 seconds with our eyes closed on Spring Ahead Sunday. Don't fall asleep, please. And I'm just going to ask you in that 60 seconds to ask the Holy Spirit to help you remember one or two times in your life in which you rejected the wisdom, the counsel, the advice of somebody who loved and cared about you, or maybe even God, and did that, and just bring those circumstances to mind. All right. And so some time of rejecting the wisdom of God and people that we love. Okay, you can open your eyes now. I know that I've said this to people privately, and I think I've probably shared it publicly a time or two during my time here at All Saints. But for the longest time, I believed that I was the worst French student in the history, in the 50-year history of the high school that I went to. And it's not true, actually. It's not. I'm one of the worst, but not the not the worst. And the truth is that when I was transitioning from the early years of studying high school foreign language into the later years, I made a decision that I wasn't going to go on. And I had a number of people who cared about me, who sort of had some, at least a general sense of the direction that I would take in life and to college and all those sorts of things, who said, no, you should really continue. And people who knew me, people who cared about me, family, and probably the most important was the teacher, the French teacher, saying, you know, you should really go on. And I chose not to. I didn't, and I had all sorts of 16-year-old sophomore in high school rationalizations of why I should not. But the truth is that in my rejection of the people who cared about me, knew me, and loved me, there were two reasons. Okay, both of them really bad. Okay, the first one is because in the transition of the class, it was going from very, very heavy reading and vocabulary and that sort of thing, which I did pretty well, into speaking, okay, which I didn't. It was going to be considerably harder and a lot more work. Okay, it was going to be considerably harder, a lot more work. I didn't think I was particularly good at it either, but I was simply too lazy. I mean, it was an act of pure, raw laziness that I said no. The second one is probably even worse. Okay, the second one is probably even worse, and that is, in a very competitive high school academic environment, I knew darn well that I was not going to get a grade that I probably really wanted in that class, and if I didn't get it, it would harm my GPA and my class rank. It was about raw ego. It was about raw ego. The rejection of the gift of love and advice was rooted in awful things like laziness and ego. That's where the infidelity came into. And today, sort of ironically, I guess, in our Laetare Rejoicing Sunday, all three readings have some emphasis and focus on the infidelity that we have towards God. All right, the history of Israel, Chronicles is sort of the official history of Israel, says it very straightforward and very bluntly, very matter-of-factly. The princes, the people, and the priests of Israel added infidelity to infidelity to infidelity. They were completely and totally unfaithful to God. Nobody was exempt. Nobody was exempt. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to other prophets. They didn't listen to the messengers who called for repentance, to come back, to subscribe to what God has taught us, what Father Eric reminded us last week in the Ten Commandments and the rules that God gives us to live. Rejected and just said no. And so it took the world being turned completely and totally upside down on them. Jerusalem fell, they get sent to exile in Babylon, and they're there for 70 years, living the consequences of their infidelity to God. But the rest of the story, and it becomes a precursor to Jesus coming into the world and rescuing us from our sin and reconciling us to the Father, is that in unexpected ways, even in the midst of their infidelity, even in the midst of our infidelity, God stays faithful to us and responds in ways very, very unexpected. Very unexpected. Israel came through Cyrus of Persia, who came into power while they were in exile, gives them permission to go and to restore Jerusalem and the temple and all that. Out of nowhere, they're able to do that. And so God stays faithful in the midst of their infidelity. I suspect some of them probably doubted that he was remaining faithful as they were in exile and endured all of that. But he did, and that's a marvelous thing. And that's what we rejoice in. And we see as the covenant is completed in Jesus, as he comes into the world, not to judge, but to rescue. But John also reminds us in the midst of all that, there is still a stubbornness of heart. That Jesus, the light of the world, comes in, okay, as light in the darkness, but people still prefer darkness. They prefer darkness to light in their infidelity, in their stubbornness, in their egos, whatever it is. There's still people who prefer darkness to light, an unrepentant state of heart. And the truth is, we live in that. The infidelity of people to God is nothing new. It's nothing new. When I asked you to bring those things to mind, I didn't say if you had those, because we all do. All right, we all do have those experiences of rejecting God, rejecting love, acting in our own selfishness, and all those things that cause us to do so. But the truth is, and especially during this Lenten season, all right, the heart of our sacrifices and spiritual activities is a humble sense of honesty. Honesty towards ourselves, honesty towards God, about those places of darkness and infidelity within our hearts that the Lord needs to touch with his mercy. The Lord needs to touch with his mercy. And that's what the season is about. And so the difference, all right, the difference between, all right, the run-of-the-mill Christian who tries to be faithful, who tries to be honest, is a recognition of that infidelity and a trust in the goodness and mercy of God versus those who prefer darkness to light. And the preference of darkness to light will come in the form of people simply out of hand rejecting what God has communicated to us, rejecting revelation, rejecting scriptures, rejecting what the church teaches, and announcing that they're the faithful ones and everybody else, including the church, including the scriptures, has to catch up with them. And that's what we live in. All right, we live in a culture, and it's not difficult to see that collectively there's a widespread rejection of what God reveals to us. There is, and the truth is that even in that rejection is a merciful Father that's always waiting for us to come back. He does. All right, and the cultural milieu in which we live in, which has fewer and fewer shared values and fewer of them based in any sense of revealed Christianity, all right, makes it difficult. It makes it difficult for the person who's honest with himself, honest with herself, and God to live a life of faith. Right, to live a life of faith. It's isolating. It can be very, very isolating to want to believe, trust, and live in God when others simply don't. All right? It's easier to go along and get along. So one of the reasons that the Archdiocese has asked every parish to put together small faith groups is precisely to address that issue of isolation. It can be very, very isolating to try to live our faith. And so we put together these small groups to be able to share faith, to pray, to learn, and all those sorts of things to help us confidently all right, confidently live a faith that at best people don't understand, at worst they simply reject out of hand, okay? And so we do this, and we're still forming the groups. If you haven't signed up yet, there's still plenty of time to do so and plenty of room to do so, and I would encourage you to do that, all right? And the truth is, in this season, hopefully, of in-depth honesty, we understand on this Rejoicing Sunday that, in fact, yes, there's infidelity. But we have a Lord that comes into the world to show us his mercy. The grace of my experience, my selfishness and ego as a high school student has come full circle much later in life. The one teacher, all right, the one teacher from high school that I have any connection with at all, mostly through official alumni activities and things like that at the school, is my French teacher. It's my French teacher, all right? And I saw her a few years back for the first time in probably since high school, maybe a little bit after that. And I told her, I said, you know, the biggest regret I have academically in my life is not moving on, is not taking more language studies. And it was really a mistake. It would have helped me in further studies and such. It would have helped me to be polite in international company and all those sorts of things, which was a very, very much of a shortcoming. And she just said one very, very simple thing. She said, you know, the problem, okay, the problem was that you did not have enough confidence in yourself, and you didn't have enough confidence in the people teaching you. You didn't have enough confidence in yourself or the people teaching you, and so you did that. And she said it once, never again. She didn't say, her first response wasn't, "See, I told you so. You were a fool. You should have done what I told you to." And it's a wonderful analogy, okay? It's a wonderful analogy of a God who reacts to us in our infidelity, who doesn't affirm it, who doesn't like it, but always has the door open for us to come back if we actually prefer light to darkness. If we prefer the light coming in to shine in there and revealing the darkness in our heart, all right, then we can grow. We can respond to repentance. Because the truth is on this rejoicing Sunday, it is a reminder of infidelity on top of infidelity on top of infidelity. And most importantly, in the midst of all that infidelity, is a God who comes into the world to rescue us. He rescued the people of Israel. He rescues us with the presence of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is be honest. To be honest about that reality and to live in a spirit of preferring the light of Christ to darkness.